This is the Baseball Reporters.
Which makes all the sense in the world if you're the Red Sox.
With Tony Maserati, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Fisher with the 0-2. Ground ball up the middle. Xander Bogaerts gets to it. Throw to first. Not in time, and the ball game is over. The run scores, and Seattle pulls it out in 13. 6-5 on a base hit by Segura. Man, did that one get away, and boy, does that one sting.
So, you know, there aren't many occasions on this program where we get two games to talk about in between shows. Two games to talk about, but that's exactly the case here on the Baseball Reporters this evening. 617-779-0985 is your phone number, as you know. And we remind you that the program is brought to you by Jackson Lumber and Millwork, supplying contractors and homeowners with residential and commercial building materials since 1946. You can check them out at jacksonlumber.com. 617-779-0985. So, look, we're in the unusual predicament here of having to go against the end of the Red Sox game. Right now they are 4-0 leaders over the Seattle Mariners in the top of the or the bottom of the eighth inning out at Safeco Field. It looks like they're going to wrap this one up. Chris Sale to the rescue again. Chris Sale to the rescue, because it certainly looked like after last night's loss, the Red Sox were coming apart there again, or a little bit more. Every day, another layer comes off, a little bit more. And then Sale goes out there and gives them 7 scoreless, 11 strikeouts, and it looks like they're going to win. Here's my question to you, pending the actual victory. And again, they're in the bottom of the eighth right now. They're ahead 4-0. Does all this stuff go away because they won a game? They're off tomorrow. They'll fly home from the West Coast following the game out in Seattle. But does everything go away? Like, if it's all of a sudden, is David Price less of a problem than he was 3 hours ago because they beat the Seattle Mariners behind Chris Sale? Does any of that really change? And so, look, we had some people call the program last night that were starting to say, all right, enough already with the pricing. You know, they're going to be fine. Do you really believe that? Because I think they have a significant problem there in the clubhouse. They have a significant leadership void in that clubhouse. And they have a significant power void in that lineup. And when you add all these things together, I feel like ultimately the 2017 Red Sox are going to end up flat on their faces, whether it's at the end of September or the beginning of October or sometime in October. I hope I'm wrong. I don't root against them, contrary to what many of you believe. I don't. It benefits me if they win. More of you are interested. I am more interested if they win, all of that. There's certainly some political drama along the way with this team. Don't get me wrong. But it is better for everyone if they win. So, I don't know. I wonder. We began the day today talking about John Farrell and his role in the game last night, his role in this whole thing. Murray, you said you wouldn't be surprised if he were fired by the end of the day if they lose this game. They're up 4-0. It looks like they're going to win it. But is there any more of a reason to believe that somehow if the Red Sox don't snap out of it and play better over an extended period of time, that the manager is somehow safe?
No, not at all. They're absolved for a day because of who got the start this afternoon in Chris Sale, who's been their most consistent player since the beginning of the season. Look who's coming in here this weekend. A red-hot Royals team followed by the Indians. It ain't over yet.
So, Murray, keep talking because I want to look something up here.
Sure.
In all honesty, keep flapping your gums.
Well, and considering how uneven this team has been offensively this month, and the only guy that has been consistent is Dustin Pedroia, just because they had a good day at the plate today doesn't mean that all of a sudden they've solved all their issues, whether it's Bogaerts or Benintendi. Even Mookie Betts has been having problems, went 0 for 6 last night. No, because they had a good day today doesn't mean that they've righted the ship.
Okay, so you know it's interesting because you say Sale to the rescue. The Red Sox are 8 games over 500 now. 8. At one point, I think they were like 14, something like that. I mean, they are 6-12 in their last 18 games going into today. So they're 8 games over 500. You know what they are when Sale starts?
I don't know. Tell me.
14-6. 8 games over. The point is they have been extremely, perfectly mediocre, exactly 500 on days when Chris Sale doesn't pitch. This is exactly the one day they win. This is the one day out of the 5 that you can guarantee that they win, pretty much. And I say guarantee. Okay, so it's, you know, what, 70%? 70, you know, that's his winning percentage, or their winning percentage when Sale pitches, 15-6 now if you count today. So that is all but a, you know, in baseball, 70% is a slam dunk. Like, that's a huge number. 15-6. They're going to be 9 over now in sale pitches, and the rest of the time, 500. So, again, congratulations. They'll get on the flight. They'll come back from the West Coast, and you will say, well, there you go. There's a, you know, opportunity to take a deep breath, which, if and when they get to the playoffs, is not only the reason Chris Sale might be the Cy Young winner in the American League, or should be the Cy Young winner in the American League, it's also an argument potentially for him being the MVP. But that's, again, another story. Has any of your opinions, anyone out there, on Price Eckersley changed how you feel about David Price, about the clubhouse on this team, about John Farrell as a manager, any of it? Has anything really changed because they won a game 4-0 or are about to win a game 4-0 behind the Cy Young Award winner in the American League right now? I mean, if all of a sudden it makes you feel better, it is. It's a temporary, you know, it's a temporary little reprieve from the reality that they have played like garbage. They don't hit home runs. Their attitude stinks. And the latest Price incident, in case you hadn't heard, in the clubhouse, Rob Bradford, who works for our competitors, and Rob has covered baseball in this time a long time, covered baseball in this town a long time. And look, I'm one of the first people to tell you that occasionally I gets a little too close to the players. Rob's not exactly a guy who's going to hold the team's feet to the fire. However, there are lots of different walks of life in the business. Okay? So somebody has got to get information out of the players. And so I'm not saying this as criticism. Rob Bradford, who is as engaging and accommodating and has access to the players better than anybody in town, maybe with that team, is conducting an interview with Chris Sale. And you know what David Price did? He cranked up the stereo to make it hard to hear both while he was talking to him and when he would go back and listen to the recording. What a dink move. Dink move. And it's not unprecedented. I've seen guys do it in the past. I couldn't give you a specific example, but it was a common ploy. Let's make life tough on the media. David Price has turned into Nomar Garciaparra in that clubhouse. He's a miserable SOB. Miserable.
I mean, to make that guy's life miserable, again, a guy who, you know, is close to the team and some of the players on that team, it's not like he's in there, you know, trying to undermine the players or find some kind of dirt. He's just trying to talk to Chris Sale and get some sound that he can play back on the radio station. And you have this thin-skinned...
I'm not even sure it was that. He might have been writing a column.
Right. Either or. But you have this thin-skinned, weak-minded baby doing the most childish thing possible to make sure that that audio can't be used, even if he wanted to hear it back and write a column. Like, that to me... Like, I've had my issues with David Price, and I've probably been too hard on him with dumb bits I've done for the afternoon show. But after that, I was like, oh, that's the last straw for me. F this guy.
See, and Murray, what it tells you, too, is there's nobody there that can rein him in. Nobody. Whether it's a teammate, Dustin Pedroia, he's not built for
just
it.
Just someone. You don't even have to confront him. Just go over and be like, come on, man. Like, just give this dude 5
yeah.
minutes. Let him
I mean, again, it hasn't only reached the point where he fails to cooperate with the media, because, God, there have been a million of those. He is now obstructing other people from dealing with the media, and he's obstructing people from doing their job. And this is, honestly, is not even a Price media thing. It's more about a Red Sox culture thing at the moment and how bad it is and how do they fix it. Brendan's in Charlestown. Brendan, what do you got?
First time, long time, guys. Love the show. I just want to say I hate John Farrell and I hate David Price, but an enemy of my enemy is my friend. And if that means that David Price is going to get John Farrell fired, I think that would save face for me.
Okay, so look, if that's what it takes to change the whole sort of vibe and culture problem, well, who's against that? Of course, we're all for that. I mean, now, oddly enough, you could say that Farrell's had a harder time having to deal with these clowns this year than maybe any other time during his Red Sox tenure. These babies, and led by the chief, the biggest baby of them all, who's Price. We all know that. Like, if there were ever a year where you could blame other people more, this might be one of them. Or this might be it. But I don't know. I'm just not convinced that a new manager, if Gary DeSarcina replaces John Farrell, is David Price going to be any better, or do you still have sort of the same problem? And ultimately, I go back to last October when they went up against the Cleveland Indians and they cracked. David Price had trouble dealing with the pressure his whole life before he came to Boston. Now, Chris Sale's a huge wild card in this thing, as he has proven again today, because boy, does he pick up this team every chance he gets. But you do sort of look at the whole thing and you wonder, and you say, ultimately, do they have a major character flaw, a major fundamental character flaw, a makeup flaw that is going to prevent them from winning, and how they address it? And I think they have a baseball flaw, too, in the lack of power. And there's one player in particular that really is really getting on my nerves now in terms of failing to live up to expectations. We'll get to him at one point here in the program as well.
Baseball Reporters with Tony Mazz, 98.5 The Sports Hub.
My name is Jameer Dixon, and I'm a locating Mark Fieldman for PG&E. I protect people. I protect our community. I protect our environment. When you call 811, I come out to your house, and I mark out our gas lines and our electric lines to make sure that you don't hit them when you're digging. 811 is at the heart of safety. I want people to know what's underneath them when they're digging. I'm passionate about it because every time I go on the street, I think about my own kids. 811 is a free service. Even if you're planting a garden, no project is too small to call 811.
Together, we're building a better California.
The business you run may be small, but your responsibility, that's always big. Real big. Like answering all of your employees' health insurance questions? That's on you, boss. But not to worry. Anthem Blue Cross has real people your employees can talk to who can help. Oh, and you're also responsible for company outings. Might I suggest laser tag?
For all the things that keep you up at night, Anthem has a solution. Real people, empowered to get you on the right track. Anthem Blue Cross. Rest easy. Click the banner to learn more.
The show that Red Sox Nation turns to first. The Baseball Reporters, 98.5, The Sports Hub.
Well, he's a good player. He's a very good offensive player. He can play a lot of different positions. He's been swinging the bat very well. He can run, so he's a good offensive player. He's versatile for us. Gives us another bat that we feel can help us give us some offense, which we do need at this time.
It's Dave Dombrowski, Red Sox president of baseball operations, talking about the Eduardo Nunez deal. If you missed this, and look, it's later in the day now, but this happened late last night during the game with the Mariners. I don't expect that you stayed up for the game. The Red Sox blew it. They were up 4-3. They gave up a home run in that game to tie the score at 4. Who was it that gave up the home run? Hembree gave up the home run to tie the game up. That was bottom of the 7th, I believe, to Mike Zunino. And then the Red Sox actually went ahead 5-4 in the top of the 13th, and they gave up 2 in the bottom half of the inning and lost the game 6-5. Okay, so it was a killer. It was a killer loss last night. Now they're bouncing back today. They're up 4-0 in the 9th. One out, Blaine Boyer's on the mound. Chris Sale pitched a beauty. Rafael Devers had his first career major league hit, which was a home run to dead center field. He's got real power. Boy, you don't hit a ball out like he hit it out and not have real power. His power is real. So that's a good sign. But still, I come back to the same thing. One win. Would they go 2-4 on this West Coast trip? They won one in Anaheim and they won one in Seattle against bad teams. And they have not played well. They have not hit the ball. All of that, none of that goes away. And late last night, they made the trade for Eduardo Nunez with the San Francisco Giants. And when they announced the deal, and I thought this was interesting, they said Red Sox acquire utility infielder Eduardo Nunez. Like, which I thought was, you could have just said infielder, or you could have just said acquire Eduardo Nunez. You could have said any one of a million things.
He was an all-star last year.
With the Twins. It comes with an asterisk. That was a horrendous team. They had to have somebody there. It was
still
him. Okay,
makes the player sound better.
So we missed that earlier. I didn't realize he went, which tells you plenty. But they could have done, you know, any one of a million things. And they called him a utility infielder. And then Dave Dombrowski, and I just want to get to this, and then we'll get to your calls. Dave Dombrowski was asked about how they were going to use Nunez. A lot of people just assume that this is a trade for a third baseman and maybe Devers is going back down to AAA. Here's what he said.
I think he'll play a lot for us. He's been very hot. He's one of the best hitters, been since June 1st, one of the best hitters in baseball. But I think we'll have to probably sit down and visit exactly how he's going to be used. And with the versatility he can play a lot of different spots.
Okay, so with the versatility he has, he can play a lot of different spots. It doesn't sound like they're going to take Devers out of the lineup. So, Murray, what was your theory again?
Well, you have Xander Bogaerts hitting the .150 in July going into today's game and continuing to struggle at the plate, and the fact that Eduardo Nunez has played shortstop before. What's to say that they don't sit Bogaerts and have Nunez play some shortstop more often than not?
I rule out nothing, and there's plenty of spots you could put him right now. I mean, Benintendi's not hitting. He can play left field.
And I'll tell you what, I think the decision has now been made. They cannot option Devers after the game he had today. With the lack of pop that they've had and that bomb that he hit, and actually he's got another hit as well, they can't option him tomorrow.
He had two walks last night. So offensively, there's no question. Devers looks, you know, now look, we thought this about Benintendi last year too. And so it's a small sample, but he was hitting in the minors this year. He's continuing to hit. And the only thing I will tell you, the power is real. The kid has real power.
Well, it's a natural-looking swing, too. Even that first at-bat that he had last night, yeah, I think he flew out to center. But I remember seeing it, and I was like, huh. You know, like there's a – it's immediate. When you watch this kid at the plate, you're like, oh, that's a professional hitter.
So I had read, just quickly on Devers, I had read that he had all-field power. And I thought, well, that's what they need. They need someone who can hit the ball out of the ballpark other than Hanley to every part of the field. And I would say after that home run that it leads me to believe that that is a legit – it was a legit assessment – of his ability. Not only was that ball to dead center in Seattle, in Safeco Field, one of the biggest ballparks in the league, it was high. And when I say it was high, to hit a ball that far, that high, you got to have power. And I think this kid has it. So we'll see. But back to the phones. Kevin's in Foxborough. Kevin, what do you got?
Hey, how's it going? I'm a little younger than a lot of guys that call in, but it's just kind of crazy. I've never seen a Boston player cheated against as much as Price. If I were offered tickets on Friday, I would go in just so I could boo him. I am so sick of this guy. It's ridiculous.
Okay, so Kevin, this is one of the questions. Oddly enough, off day tomorrow, team comes home, plays on Friday night. David Price is pitching the first game. Kansas City Royals are in town. Price will pitch the opener. Dennis Eckersley presumably will be back in the broadcast booth calling the game. All of this after these details came to light in the Dan Shaughnessy story earlier in the week. The story came out Sunday night. But really, I think a lot of people, and certainly for our purposes, we started talking about it on Monday. I think he's going to get booed. And if he pitches badly, oof, ugly. By the way, still one out in the ninth in Seattle in the top of the ninth. Two men now on for the Mariners, and Craig Kimbrell is being called into the game. He's forced into the game because it's now a save situation. Not over yet. Charlie's in Boston. Charlie, what do you got?
Hey, what's up, guys? Happy birthday, Maz. Just want to shout you out on that real quick.
Happy birthday?
Yeah, it says it on Twitter. Your birthday today.
Today is not my birthday, but thanks.
whatever, you scab. But listen, I Justin Goodwin, I gotta take you said they're 14-6 when Sale's pitching. But you didn't take into factor, Maz, that also, you know, in some of those losses, they've been 1-0 losses in a couple of them. Kimbrel's blown a 1-0.
Charlie, my only point is this. If you're calling to tell me that Chris Sale, I'm going to let you go. Because once we start talking over each other, forget it. The idea that Sale has had tough losses, sure. Yes, Porcello's had tough losses too. The only reason I brought it up was to tell you this. The team is 8 games over. They're 8 games over when Sale pitches. End of story. End of discussion. When Sale doesn't pitch, they have been a perfectly mediocre team. Perfectly mediocre. And you don't need me to tell you that they are now, what, 100 games into the season? Murray, how many games have they played?
Oh.
Give me an exact number, will you? 100 games in, they're a 500 team. You tell me if you think that that's an acceptable level for this team, because I don't.
56 and 47. You do that, man.
Because that's actually 103. They're over 100 games. Frankie's in Everett.
What's up, Tony?
What do you got, Frankie? Go ahead.
So, Dustin Pedroia, I've watched him growing up. How long has he been on the Red Sox now? 11 years?
It's 10 years, I believe. Yeah, this is the 11th.
10 years, yeah. What an incredible start he had here. Won two World Series.
What are you getting at, Frankie?
All right. So I'm not complaining about his production or his performance on the field, but how does everything make him look that he's now been a passenger on the team that had the chicken and beer stuff? Now he's on this team that's in the middle of this fiasco. It even highlights his, the incident he had earlier with Machado, Baltimore kind of showing off his own team.
So, Frankie, what you're getting at ultimately is that you don't think Dustin Pedroia is a leader.
This guy is not a leader, Tony.
Okay, and you know what? You're right, he's not. See, like, I'm not as angry about this, Murray, as a lot of other people are, because I knew this about Pedroia. Now, again, I had the good fortune of being able to cover those teams during those years. And I really, what I should say, with regard to the discussion with the listeners, I had the advantage of covering those teams those years. So I saw how the clubhouse worked. I understood who the dominant personalities were, who the guys people gravitated to, what the roles were. And look, I have great respect for Pedroia as a player. And I have great respect for him as a teammate. You never once heard me say that Dustin Pedroia was a leader. Never. And that doesn't mean he's a follower per se either.
Okay. He's a more independent contractor than anything else.
Okay, but there are a lot of guys on teams that have different roles, and Pedroia has never been the kind of guy that's going to get in a teammate's face. I mean, really get in a teammate's face and be angry and straighten something out that needs to be straightened out. It's just not his style. So I am not upset about this, again, because you can't have that many of them on a team. There's only going to be one or two guys that really lead the club. The problem now is that this team needs one, and Pedroia isn't doing it. And so listen, and I say this again, I am less upset about this as a fan might be, but if you as a fan are upset that Dustin Pedroia is not leading, you have a right. It seems like a logical progression that he would just sort of assume the responsibility and become the leader of the team. He didn't. They have a leadership void. It's a problem. The concern I have is, how do you fix it? Because David Price is here and has a big contract. Even if you fire Farrell, and look, maybe a strong manager could really make a difference and keep Price in check. But I wonder. I still think you have a problem in the clubhouse, and you have a problem in the lineup, too, which we'll get to next.
The Baseball Reporters, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
My name is Jameer Dixon, and I'm a Locate and Mark Fieldman for PG&E. I protect people. I protect our community. I protect our environment. When you call 811, I come out to your house, and I mark out our gas lines and our electric lines to make sure that you don't hit them when you're digging. 811 is at the heart of safety. I want people to know what's underneath them when they're digging. I'm passionate about it because every time I go on the street, I think about my own kids. 811 is a free service. Even if you're planting a garden, no project is too small to call 811.
Together, we're building a better California.
The business you run may be small, but your responsibility, that's always big. Real big. Like answering all of your employees' health insurance questions? That's on you, boss. But not to worry. Anthem Blue Cross has real people your employees can talk to who can help. Oh, and you're also responsible for company outings. Might I suggest laser tag?
For all the things that keep you up at night, Anthem has a solution. Real people, empowered to get you on the right track. Anthem Blue Cross. Rest easy. Click the banner to learn more.
From the field.
You're the one who threw the pitch.
To the clubhouse.
They're a reliever short.
To the corner office.
That sends all the wrong messages.
We have the Sox covered.
Because that's the way I look at it.
The Baseball Reporters on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
And they got a little shift going on right here against him.
Fly ball center field. Heredia racing back. This is deep. Back he goes. It is gone! Devers with his first major league hit. And he hits a bomb. And the Red Sox lead it 2-0.
Now that is the way to get your first major league hit done right there.
Now they have to go find it. And that's not going to be easy.
No, because people don't seem to give those up very well.
Mike Timlin. People don't seem to give him up. He was leading you in, Timlin. That's what he was doing. That's not going to be easy to find. Well, he hit it so far. Get it, Mike? That's what he was teeing you up for that. Rafael Devers, first major league hit today. Had two walks last night. Today, home run to dead center field at Safeco Field. I said this earlier, I'll say it again. His power is legit. Okay, there's legit power there. I read this about Devers before they brought him up. So somebody made the comment, he has all field power. And I thought, okay, well, all field power in the minor leagues or big league all field power? Like, what are we talking about here? That home run he hit today? That was a legit home run. Dead center field at Safeco Field. And again, what I take out of it as much as anything was the height of it. It's hard to hit a ball that far that is that high. Sometimes you can absolutely hit an absolute rope of a line drive and it just keeps carrying and it gets over the center field wall. But when you hit him that high, it's hard to hit him that high and go 420 feet, which is what that ball did. So look, there's every chance that Rafael Devers will come into that lineup and start hitting home runs. I mean, it's not a look at what Aaron Judge has done for the Yankees. And I'm not saying this kid is that. But sure, one guy can make a significant difference if he's a guy that can hit the ball out to all fields. At the moment, this kid's batting ninth. Let's see how it goes. Again, I suspect the Red Sox have bigger, deeper problems that Rafael Devers alone is not going to be able to solve. Which brings me to Paulie, who's in the truck. Paulie, what do you got?
And that's why Xander Bogaerts will not hit the ball long and deep like that, high, long and deep, because he does not have the type of swing the way he's going. He's gone over the edge of the cliff with this Walter Eniak style. It's ridiculous. The play ball he grounded into the other night to end the game was the last straw with me. Guy his size, that's not his natural way he swings the bat. That's not the way he came to this club, swinging the bat. He looks like he looks like a little leaguer, for crying out loud, the way he's swinging that thing. He's really, it's awful, Tony.
Okay, so
number two.
Go ahead, Paulie, quickly.
The other thing is I texted Show this morning and said the only chance the Red Flops have in the season and winning this year is if they bring in Jim Leland as manager. There's no leaders in the clubhouse. There's no leadership at the helm. D. Garcia, whatever his name is, Gary DeSarcina,
yep.
He will not will not lead them to the promised land. And Leland is the only one that's got the command that immediate respect.
Okay, so, Paulie, I'm going to let you go. Listen, if it's Leland, we would all love that. I felt this way a year ago. Maybe you can convince Leland to come back and manage a team just for the balance of the season. Maybe that's it. And Leland is a leader. We all know he's a leader. I don't know if he can relate to players anymore. He's in his 70s now, I think. He's pretty damn close, isn't he? Can one of you guys check Leland's age real quick? Like, Leland's not a long-term answer. And there's every chance, I guess, that they like DeSarcina, that it's addition by subtraction and then everything's fine again. We can find out about the real level of dysfunction if and when Farrell goes, no matter who replaces him.
Leland, 72.
72. Okay, so I thought he was in his 70s. I mean, that's, you know, but again, all you're looking for is a few months here. They've invested a lot in this team, and so to have him for a few months would be worth it. It's more than they're doing at the deadline, I'll tell you that. So just quickly on the Eduardo Nunez thing, and I brought this up last segment, I think Nunez can help them. But they acquired him because he's inexpensive. They want to stay below that luxury tax. I can't emphasize that point enough. So they've had opportunities to make bigger deals. And the more you look at it, that Tyler Thornburg trade, what a killer. They lost a left-handed batter with power in Travis Shaw. And on top of it, they gave away prospects they might have been able to include in a deal now to help them and they can't make. And on top of it, they don't want to take on money. There's a problem. So Bogaerts is a problem, too. I want to get a little bit deeper on Bogaerts here in a minute. Greg is in a car. Go ahead, Greg.
Now, as you pointed it out earlier, this is a 500 ball club, and Farrell still has his job. Well, the 13 reasons why he still has his job, and that's the number of wins Chris Sale has. Without Sale pitching on this club, Farrell would be gone. I want to make one other point real quick. I'm not into predictions, but on Friday, you're going to hear Price get booed his ass off. And I guarantee you, this guy is so cynical and so disturbed, he's going to blame the media. Thanks.
Oh, so Greg, look, we'll see how it goes. Again, he's pitching the opener of the homestand Friday night against the Royals. I think he's going to get booed. I don't see how he could possibly be received warmly now after everything that has been expressed on these airwaves in the last 3 days. This has been so one-sided, this story. The distaste and the dislike for David Price now has skyrocketed, and he will blame the media because it's never his fault. He brings all this on himself, which is the irony of the whole thing. So we'll see how it goes with Price. We'll see how it goes. Whatever he gets, he deserves. And I still think that the idea that he could orchestrate and choreograph an ambush on Dennis Eckersley, the scariest part of that whole thing. So, see, again, there is this perception that this is a media battle against the Red Sox. And it's not. Reporters and players have gone at it all the time. Reporters and coaches. It's happened to me. Jose Offerman threatened to kick my ass. Nobody cared. They backed Offerman, or if you wanted to, you would have backed Offerman if it was that big a deal at the time. And honestly, I don't blame you. Tommy Harper once got in my face in the clubhouse, right in the middle of the room, grandstanding. We had it out there. Fine. No problem. Again, wasn't a big deal. It's happened a million times to a million people. I've been berated by Dan Duquette, Theo Epstein, Terry Francona. They've all yelled at me. Okay, it's commonplace. What is scary to me is that there were guys lined up with Price and that he has sway in the clubhouse. Now, look, whether you like Price or not, whether he sort of went after Eckersley or not, you cannot dispute the fact that he is an extremely unhappy, right now illogical, unreasonable guy. That's the guy that's leading your team? Who's reining him in? And the answer? Nobody. That is the scary part. Dave's in a car. Go, Dave.
Okay. Price came here because at the time of his signing, Dombrowski didn't have a whole lot of options. Without an ace of his caliber, the team really didn't have a realistic shot at the playoffs.
Agreed.
But if you look back at the reason how they got in that position, is because after Edgar Renteria, Julio Lugo, Adrian Gonzalez, Carl Crawford, etc., the Red Sox let John Lester go and once again somehow didn't learn the lesson that there's so much value in a guy that you know can handle this market and step up and play the game. And they just somehow continue to make the same mistake over and over and over again. And this is where it got them.
So, Dave, look, there's no question it all goes back to Lester. It absolutely goes back to Lester. They botched the negotiation. They mishandled it. They lowballed him. They pissed him off to the point where they traded him, and then at that point it was no shot of him coming back. He went to the Cubs, and he's won since, and you haven't. So, you know, pretty clear there in terms of who the winning player is, who can hack it, and now you have the David Price problem. And again, it's a problem. It's a problem. So now, look, could all this go away in the short term if they start winning again? Yeah. But I think ultimately, when this team gets into tough games and tough spots, the softness of their character, the brittle nature of their makeup, is going to come back to haunt them, just like it did last October, when they had a horrendous series against the Indians. Horrendous. And some of this brings me back now to what I said to you. They have a lineup problem, too. And single-handedly, I don't think Devers can solve it. Not at his age, despite the fact that he hit a ball today that looked like it was a, you know, it had the loft of a 7-iron and the distance of a driver. Okay, so that should tell you plenty. To hit a ball that high, that far, he's got real power, but he's 20. You're going to plop him into the middle of the lineup right now, batting fourth, fifth, and he's going to solve the problems? And I hope he can, but I don't think it's realistic. There's the very real chance you are going to have to trade for power. And if it comes to that point, and you have to trade from your core, because you're not trading your prospects, because you don't have many of those left, Bogarts is the guy I move. I mean, I really, and listen, I love Bogarts. I loved him when he came up. I loved his first couple of years. I thought there was real growth as a player. In 2015, I thought he had a fabulous year. Last year in the second half, he tailed off. He's now tailing off again. He has been so bad for the last month. Jim Murray theorizes that Eduardo Nunez is going to play shortstop more than he's going to play third base because Bogarts has been so bad. Now, Nunez can play the outfield, too. Maybe he fills in for Benintendi because he, too, and let this be a lesson to you with regard to your expectations for Devers. Benintendi has smelled lately. He's been bad. And Betts hasn't been great lately either. So, like, I look at all these guys and I say, you're going to have to cut out from this core to go get yourself another legit power hitter. Maybe even a leader. A power hitter who can lead.
Of the three, who's the most expendable to you?
Bogarts.
Yeah, me too.
Bogarts. Bogarts is the guy. This is what I'm saying, Murray. He's the guy they're going to have to move.
Yeah.
He's a shortstop, which means you can replace him and get something close to what he's given you in terms of power. You know, Benintendi's got double-digit home runs. Bradley's got double-digit home runs. So does Betts. So they give you some power. And in the case of Benintendi and Bradley, they're left-handed batters, and I think that has value. Bogarts is six. They thought Bogarts was going to be the number three hitter in the lineup.
And these mid to late season dips that you're seeing in terms of offensive production, like this is now becoming a trend.
Second year in a row.
Yeah.
Second year in a row. So I don't know if they're going to attribute this to the hand injury as a result of that pitch. And I would say, well, fine. What's the excuse last year? And the defense, the two misplays he made on Saturday night, god awful.
Well, he makes some dumb plays too. You saw one today for anyone that watched the game. I think it was the eighth inning. You know, a guy who's desperate to get a hit. They had bases loaded at the time with two outs. and you know it's a dribbler that he's just trying to run out, he slides into first base. What the hell are you doing sliding into first base if you have an injured hand?
So you go back to, what, 3 years ago. He didn't like being moved to third base. And what bothered me, I didn't like him being moved to third base either because I thought they were messing with the kid, and they were. But it was revealing how he handled it, which is poorly, meaning that he didn't produce. His offense went south after that. So it's one thing to say, okay, fine, they put me here, I don't like it. And then you say he's a whiner. But at least he hit while he was there. He didn't. He didn't hit while he was there. It went the other way. Once he went back to shortstop, he started to hit again, which tells you that mentally there's some fragility there. Okay, so that. Last year, remember? Tired. I've played a lot of games. Fatigue. Tired. And again, I like Bogarts. I never wanted to see it come to this. But to me, he's the guy you move. If you need power and you get to swap out someone from your core, Bogarts is the one.
Boston's most comprehensive discussion of everything baseball. The Baseball Reporters, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
My name is Jameer Dixon, and I'm a locating Mark Fieldman for PG&E. I protect people. I protect our community. I protect our environment. When you call 811, I come out to your house, and I mark out our gas lines and our electric lines to make sure that you don't hit them when you're digging. 811 is at the heart of safety. I want people to know what's underneath them when they're digging. I'm passionate about it because every time I go on the street, I think about my own kids. 811 is a free service. Even if you're planting a garden, no project is too small to call 811.
Together, we're building a better California.